Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, this is Blake the Eccentric, and I want to invite you to check out my new show on Freedomizer Radio, The Eccentric Perspective. It's sort of a red pill, blue pill, going down the rabbit hole kind of show, featuring outside-the-box politics, philosophy, and gonzo journalism. But be warned, with knowledge comes responsibility, and you might not see the world the same way again. As I will attempt to open your mind, speak to your common sense, and challenge your critical thinking skills. So please join me Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday from noon to 1:30 Pacific Time. Once again, that's Eccentric Perspective, only on Freedomizer Radio.
All right, greetings and welcome. It is Monday, June 17th, 2013, and I am Blake the Eccentric, and this is the Eccentric Perspective on Freedomizer Radio, and I will be here live for the next hour and a half covering the latest news and current events about the number 347-324-3704, and we can discuss the latest news and current events. All right, good times. It'll be awesome. So, yeah, feel free to give me a call or join us in the chat room here at freedomizerradio.com. And if you want to, call me out or want to make a comment, say something, get your take out on there, help drive the news, you are welcome to do so over at, freedomizerradio.com. And, all right, no news censorship here, as long as it's on point and it's reasonably relevant. But you can also call in as well. And hello, Tessa, and everyone in the room here. Let me get a little message out here. Refresh for the live show, or you'll be listening to last night's show, perhaps. All right. And hello, Tammy. Good to see you. Hello. All right. And, yes, good one, Tessa. So refreshing. All righty, so where to begin today? Well, where do I usually begin? I usually begin with the headline story on Drudge, which, of course, is no papers required. So we had an interesting Supreme Court decision today, and I'll pull this up. I think I had it somewhere, but yeah, I did, of course. All right, and that would be that the Arizona citizen, I got to be careful on how I pronounce that here. All right, the court, Arizona citizenship proof law illegal. All right, so we've got the Supreme Court ruled on Monday that states cannot, on their own, require would-be voters to prove that they are U.S. citizens before using a federal registration system designed to make signing up easier. So we have some controversy here. And it looks like the federal court is going to, or I guess it's going to make the federal laws trump the state laws. So we've got a little scuffle going on between the state and feds here. But the, the Supreme Court is now final, and it's 7-2. So it wasn't even that close. The justices voted 7-2 to throw out Arizona's voter-approved requirement that prospective voters document their U.S. citizenship in order to use a registration form produced under the federal motor voter registration law. Did you follow that? All right. Federal law precludes Arizona from requiring a federal form applicant to submit information beyond that required by the form itself, says Justice Antonin Scalia, wrote for the court's majority. The court was considering the legality of Arizona's requirement that prospective voters document their U.S. citizenship in order to use a registration form produced under the federal motor voter registration law. The Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals said that the National Voter Registration Act of 1993, which doesn't require such documentation, trumps Arizona's Proposition 200 that was passed in 2004. And Arizona appealed that decision to the Supreme Court. So, quote, today's decision sends a strong message that states cannot block their citizens from registering to vote by superimposing burdensome paperwork requirements on top of federal law. According to Nina Perales, Vice President of Litigation for the Mexican-American Legal Defense and Educational Fund and lead counsel for the voters who challenged Proposition 200. And the Supreme Court has affirmed that all U.S. citizens have the right to register to vote using the national postcard, regardless of the state in which they live. So, I don't know what else. I don't want to drag this on. Nor do I really even know what to say about it. It's just between that. Got some immigration news on the new bill going on. Suppose I can just kind of tie these together as another big story on that, which is probably where I'm going to go. And that's this. This is an interesting story here. This is out of the Hill. And that's good old Lindsey Graham predicts a, quote, breakthrough passage of immigration bill with over 70 votes. I don't know. I'm just going to put this all together here. So, and I was just just looking at this James O'Keefe and Project Veritas has another video out today. Because I'm remembering when he registered under Eric Holder's name. He voted for Eric Holder and didn't even have to show any evidence. And he's got a little video out today trying to just kind of got a piece of it. So, but he's turning the tables and going after a prosecutor. Good for him. I don't know if it's exactly bombshell, but it's interesting. I do like I do appreciate their work. But I'm just trying to look at all this stuff tied together with the immigration bill, with, you know, James O'Keefe. Not that his video today has anything to do with it, but it goes back to when he registered. And it just goes on to this. Like, you know, yeah, I guess of where we draw the line here. I don't know. Are they outright just trying to, you know, destroy the integrity of our voting system, I guess? I don't know. And we've got, you know, something between 11 to 30 million illegal immigrants in the country already. And, of course, that would have set to increase dramatically if they decide to ram through this immigration bill without even securing the borders. So, I mean, you know, who knows what kind of number that will be when it's all said and done. If they don't secure the borders, if they don't know exactly who's here, if they're going to allow, you know, members of, if they're going to have illegal immigrants that are here and then make them legal, and then supposedly that's also going to help some of their family members. I mean, this all of this all together just really is disturbing. And, you know, not that I don't want to see, like, you know, these poor people that have escaped tough circumstances in other countries to have a better life here. And it's sad that some of these people come over here and they have, you know, really terrible jobs, terrible conditions. And they're still, yet they're still, you know, probably, you know, living in weird conditions, moving here, you know, being secret and you're illegal and you're probably, you know, jammed up with a whole bunch of other similar people in horrible living conditions. And you're still able to give money to people, family and such. And, you know, it's got to end at some point. It's unfortunate. I mean, if we could just turn the economy around and if we had a labor shortage, you know, we could start talking about these kinds of things. It's a very complicated situation, but one of the major concerns, of course, is just the, you know, how is this going to affect voting and just trying to tie all this in together because it's such a big issue. But I'm going to dig into it here. Let me see if I can tie this all up together in the first segment of the show here. So we've got Lindsey Graham. Let me get back to this article I was highlighting here. Lindsey Graham predicts a breakthrough passage of the immigration bill with over 70 votes. That's, of course, Senate votes, not illegal immigrant votes. not that would ever be abused. Let's not be silly. Even though James O'Keefe did it under Eric Holder's name on camera. But it's a side issue. Maybe that was just a coincidence. And God knows what's going to happen in Arizona. You know, you'd think everybody would just be able to, simple enough just to have an ID. I mean, you even had, during the last election, you had, you know, neutral observers coming over from other countries that were shocked at the at how we conduct our votes here. Just basically, it seems like anybody could just walk in and vote for something. I don't know why people, it's that much of a struggle just to get a state-issued ID, but, I mean, I'm sure there's arguments on both sides. Anywho, let me get back to this. So Senator Lindsey Graham on Sunday predicted overwhelming congressional passage of an immigration reform bill. Quote, "I think we are going to have a political breakthrough that Congress is going to pass immigration reform," Graham said on NBC's Meet the Prestitutes. And he said that the Senate will give the reform bill, which currently has a path to citizenship for the nation's 11 million illegal immigrants, that's a conservative number, overwhelming support. Quote, "I think we are going to get plus 70 votes," he said. "I've never been more optimistic about it." Now, Graham said passing the bill is a political necessity for the GOP. Really, let me repeat that. Graham said passing the bill is a political necessity for the GOP. In his little twisted world, the GOP, this is necessary. If you don't pass the immigration bill, I mean, it's necessary, and I'll dig into this, because his quote here, "If we don't pass immigration reform, if we don't get it off the table in a reasonable and practical way, it doesn't matter who we run in 2016, he said. "We're in a demographic death spiral as a party. Now, the only way we can get back in the good graces of the Hispanic community, in my view, is to pass comprehensive immigration reform." Right. Let me read that again in my own words here. "The only way, according to Lindsey Graham, that you can get back into the good graces of the Hispanic community, in his view, is to pass comprehensive immigration reform." In his view, yes, it's not verified. It's not like there's a whole bunch of, you know, documented legal immigrants or whatever that have been living here lawfully and legally that have decided, hey, you know what, we're just going to vote Democrat until you guys, you know, get something figured out with the immigration reform. And then we'll, you know, hey, we voted, you know, Republican all these years, but you know what, on this one issue, we're going to be one-issue voters, and we're going to vote Democrats until you guys, you know, get your stuff together here. Lindsey Graham, looking at you. And all you old neocons. And, yeah, then we're going to turn around and start voting GOP again. But that's one obstacle, I'm sure. And here's the part I highlighted here. Graham, Lindsey Graham said a candidate like former Florida Governor Jeb Bush could win the White House in 2016 if Republicans back immigration reform. Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to. That's Lindsey's world. Does anybody else want to live in Lindsey's world? This is Lindsey's. This is the. I don't know. This is. I don't know what planet this guy lives on. I don't know what goes through his head. I don't know if he's really this just warped and delusional, or if he's just some sort of. Is he blackmailed? Is he a tool of the establishment? Is he getting paid off? I really don't know. But, I mean, I can't even – and Jeb Bush, really? That's what we have to look for. So if we pass this insane immigration bill that's been hotly contested, hotly disputed, put together behind closed doors, a lot of it, out of public view, with some of the worst people, namely Lindsey Graham, John McCain, and Chucky Schumer, three of the worst. And if we pass that, then maybe the GOP could, which is what he has even said, and that's making rounds too, is that the GOP is in a death spiral. Yes, they are, and they deserve to be. And Lindsey Graham is one of those guys, and so is John McCain. There's the two of the worst right there, two of the biggest offenders of all. So that's Lindsey's world. So I don't know who wants to live in that future or who's actually out there reading this and saying, yeah, that's a good idea. Maybe we need to listen to Lindsey Graham. And, then the Hispanic community will legalize all these people, and then they'll say, hey, you know what, we should elect Jeb Bush, because that would really, that would turn this whole thing around. And then we're going to go down that brighter future together under Jeb Bush. That's, could you imagine that? Can you imagine the history books just saying, hey, it was really awful there for a while. You had, George Bush and 9/11 and Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld, and then we went to Obama, and then we got the illusion of hope and change, and, we had 4 years of empty promises, and then basically, then the wheels all came off in the beginning of the second term, and we knew we couldn't trust anything, and scandal mania broke loose. But then a few years later, right after we passed the immigration reform, it was like magic. All the Hispanics, they decided, hey, we're going to vote GOP this time, and we're going to elect Jeb Bush. And then all of a sudden, the clouds left the sky, the sun came out, and the economy just turned around like it was on cue. And Jeb Bush goes down as the greatest hero in American history. That's Lindsey Graham's world. And saves the GOP. And then, we just added Jeb Bush onto Mount Rushmore, along with John McCain and Lindsey Graham, the three heroes that saved the country and made sure that the GOP would always be there. Would be remembered throughout human history. They'll be talking about GOP 1,000 years from now, talking about the greatness of Lindsey Graham and Jeb Bush. Despite the odds, it shocked everybody. But it wasn't until we passed that immigration reform when we really knew. All right, sorry, I'm getting sidetracked. But that's Lindsey Graham's words. All right. The wise words of Lindsey Graham. All right. So let's just all listen to him, I think. Forget about the rest. All right. Let me move on here. Let me tie some more immigration stuff here. We've got, this is out of the West Virginia Gazette. got the Senate has begun debate on the proposed immigration reform bill. And if this bill becomes law, there is one likely outcome for low-skilled West Virginia workers. Disaster. The assurances of the bill's proponents that the bill will somehow help the economy obscure copious evidence that the bill will wreak enormous damage to the employment prospects of American workers who have already seen their wages and employment rates plummet over the last several years. And indeed, it is no secret that the employment picture for low-skilled workers is abysmal. The national unemployment rate has been above 7.5% for more than 4 years, and millions have dropped out of the workforce entirely. Now, among those without a high school, a little reality check here. Among those without a high school diploma, the unemployment rate in May reached 11.1%. And for blacks without a high school diploma, it is more than 24%. Ouch. So the labor force participation rate is at historic lows, and long-term unemployment is the worst since the Great Depression. So the work week is shrinking as well as wage rates. So, that's not even, is that mentioning inflation, anything like that? I mean, this is these are staggering numbers. And I think these are, you know, somewhat conservative numbers because obviously the unemployment rate is above 7.5%. It's just, it does mention that all the people that have dropped out of the workforce. And, so the labor force, we don't exactly have a labor shortage here, which is a big problem if you're going to legalize, 11 million. That's the conservative number that we can all at least agree upon. And, of course, that would increase to well over 30 over the next 10 years. And of course, we still don't have any path towards, making the border secure so we can at least, just keep what we have and prevent anything else from getting over there. But and that's not to mention, how they're going to vote. And I'm not exactly that convinced that they're going to come over here and vote for Jeb Bush. Or, I don't know, I mean, if faced with the reality of voting for Jeb Bush or Hillary Clinton, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's kind of a lose-lose either way, but that's irrelevant. All right. Anyway, the labor force, so what do we got? Yes, of course, the long-term unemployment is the worst. Work week, of course, is shrinking, and that's not even, Obamacare is not even fully implemented yet, and people are going to shrink that to avoid that. It's also probably not mentioning the unemployment rate, factoring, how many people have, like, multiple jobs, how do they work those numbers, but that's, and of course we got barely 1 in 2 adult black males has a full-time job, and we've got a record 47 million people on food stamps already. Okay, so the immigration reform bill has the potential to make things even worse. I don't know. Maybe they're not listening to Lindsey Graham enough, and then maybe that'll change their mind here at the West Virginia Gazette here. All right, so not only will the bill grant amnesty to 11 million immigrants, it will act as a magnet for future illegal immigration and substantially increase the number of legal immigrants. It is conservatively estimated that the bill will result in 30 to 33 million additional immigrants over the next 10 years. And the bill is structured so that most of the immigrants will be low-skilled. These immigrants will compete with Americans in the low-skilled labor markets. So the competition is most fierce in some of the industries in which blacks historically have been highly concentrated, such as construction, agriculture, and service. Gee, and I don't want to get all stereotypical here, but construction, agriculture seems to be I'm not going to go there. But since the supply of low-skilled workers already exceeds the demand, the massive influx in low-skilled immigrants bodes ill for all such workers, but particularly black males. So evidence adduced before the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights shows that the immigration accounts for 40% of the 18% decline in black employment rates over the last several decades, the bulk of the decline occurring among black males. That's hundreds of thousands of blacks thrown out of work, hundreds of thousands who can't support their families without taxpayer assistance. So, I can't understand the immigration bill. You know, and I don't really like the idea of just taking 11 million people conservatively or whatever and just, like, throwing them out of the country here. But, you know, what we need is to turn around the industry. I mean, this could be worked, get everybody a job, but we're going to have to, end this kind of globalism type of deal, and we're going to have to start, turning the factories on, and we're going to have to find jobs for all these people. We can't just legalize all the illegals and then throw all of the people who are already here and, put them out of work when we've already got 47 million people on food stamps. That's almost 1 in 6. I mean, that's pretty staggering. And then we're going to put another 20 million some people on the payroll over the next 10 years as well, including, any other immigrants from other countries, as well as our own new citizens. So, I don't see how they think this is possibly going to work. And, all right, but according to Lindsey Graham, this is going to save the GOP, I guess. I don't understand the logic, but I don't know if anybody does. All right, but anyway, let's get this down to the bottom here. So recent history shows that a grant of legal status to illegal immigrants results in a further influx of illegal immigrants who will crowd out low-skilled workers from the workforce. This is also going to the point where it's going to absolutely drive down the wages, because if you've got that, we've got a labor shortage and you've got a ton of low-skilled people, it's just going to be a battle of who's willing to work for the least. So, and then some of these illegals might, if they're going to be living, 8 to a room, and I don't know. I mean, they can drive down those wages for, I don't know. It's so sad that it's come down to this. But anyway, so before the federal government grants legal status to illegal immigrants, serious deliberation must be given to the effect that such grant will have on the employment and earning prospects of low-skilled Americans. History shows that granting such legal status is not without profound and substantial costs to American workers. So, does Congress care? Yeah, well, I don't know. Lindsey Graham seems to think that there's going to be no problem getting 70 votes. So, really, really disturbing stuff here. It's the state of the world here. What are people saying about this? We've got some comments here. Matt says, this is genocide. Americans revolt now before it's too late. We got Mark says, the GOP, rhinos, thinks that amnesty will gain them voters, but the demographic spiral due to minorities and immigration is not the problem facing the GOP or the country. The problem is that too many people are beholden to an ever-increasing government. I don't know. Let's see here. Yeah, the poison pill that this bill, once is enacted and the list is created with the Dems, will file a lawsuit claiming that it is unconstitutional. I don't know. You know, it'd be great if we had a labor shortage and we needed these immigrants and we could rescue them from a dire situation and, you know, facing from corruption of other countries. And we could say, hey, we need a bunch of, it's okay, you're low skilled, that's okay, you can come in here and do this labor and we'll pay you a reasonable amount of money or whatever. But, you know, the economy's good, so everything's good, and we need to start cranking out new stuff out of our new factories. You know, we could totally do this, but not within the framework of the system. I don't know what they're thinking or how they're going to pull this off, but it gets weirder because now we go to Daily Caller here. Sorry, I'm going to push the break back just a little bit, just because I have to, I said I was going to have to tie this little immigration thing up before my break here, so I'll just push my break. All right, hopefully it won't take much longer, but we've got Obama. This is out of the Daily Caller. Obama runs the immigration bill from the White House, according to a new report. So we've got the White House is playing a larger role in developing the Gang of Eight's immigration bill than its supporters publicly admit, according to a forthcoming article in The New Yorker. So, quote, no decisions are being made without talking to us about it, says the official said of the Gang of Eight negotiations. This does not fly if we're not okay with it, says a senior Obama official. Who told author Ryan Lizza for the pending article. Now, White House officials also believe the emerging bill will be a huge success for President Barack Obama. Well, it will be a huge success for, yes, not only President Obama, but also the Democratic Party. Forget what Lindsey Graham says, and forget, you know what, as far as I'm concerned, the GOP is not an option. Jeb Bush is not an option. That is not the future. That is the past. That is the, Bush versus Clinton again is a joke. It's an embarrassment upon this country. It's basically the new American royalty if we ever allow another Bush or another Clinton to run the country here. This is not a royal bloodline here. This is not how we do things here in America. This is not how our country was set up, to have a bunch of wealthy aristocratic families, you know, just putting new members in there. Not going to happen. That's a false choice. But so getting back here. So if a Gang of Eight style bill is signed into law by the president, it will probably be one of the top five legislative accomplishments in the last 20 years, the official said. It's a huge piece of business. And yeah. And, yeah, you get a whole new dependent class who thinks they're getting something free from the government and getting refuge. And, yeah, they're going to be voting for, you know, Obama inside. And we could even go back into the civil rights thing. And a lot of people, there's plenty of evidence to suggest that Lyndon Johnson, who was kind of a jerk off and a creep, not a good guy, got us into Vietnam, and one of the reasons they wanted the you know, civil rights stuff to go through was not because he was such a great guy who wanted, you know, civil rights and equal rights for people, but he wanted that part of the voting block. You buddy up to an oppressed minority of sorts and, you know, put them under the party. And then, yeah, they got that big voting block. They'll go along and vote whatever you want. So that's the danger in this. So, if it, that, of course, ties into, well, before that. So getting this quote here I highlighted here. The report points out other evidence of close White House involvement. So, for example, Obama met with four top Democrats pushing the bill on Thursday, and a White House spokesman said earlier that the White House lawyers are participating in the drafting of the bill. But Obama and White House officials have kept a low profile to avoid deterring GOP cooperation. So, However, they expect to seize the credit from Latinos once a bill is signed, the New Yorker article said. Quote, we're not worried about short-term political credit. We'll get plenty of it if it gets signed, the official told the New Yorker. So, yeah, here we go. Now, I don't know how much else do we want to get into the, before I get to my break here. Sorry, my computer's not cooperating. So probably a couple things I want to have to say. So the Senate continue debate on the bill next week. Let's see here. There are American workers who, for a lack of better term, can't cut it. That's a Rubio aide also said. That was another controversial thing that was said. So I guess that's going to we're going to have illegal immigrants drive down the wages, or they'll be legalized, and then they can take those jobs. We can put more people on dependency, more people on food stamps, more people on government assistance. And while these illegal or these new legalized people will continue to vote Democrats, it doesn't matter if they vote for the Democrats or the GOP. I don't know. If they're going to vote for people like McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that really a good choice either? It's going to ensure the establishment status quo types. So, anyway, the 1,077-page bill is expected to provide amnesty to at least 11 million people, bring in another 20 million people over the next decade, accelerate the future inflow of immigrants' relatives, increase the supply of agricultural laborers, and boost the annual inflow of blue-collar and professional guest workers above $1 million. So let's see. We'll check a few comments here on this one. This bill is sheer insanity. If any nitwit Republican still goes along with any of it after this latest revelation, we are in even worse shape than I thought. This should prove once and for all that McCain is an outright traitor and a leftist plant. I don't know if he's a leftist plant, but he's certainly an outright traitor. And this next guy says, I wish it were only McCain, then there would be a chance of defeating this. Sadly, there are too many Republicans already on board, and amnesty is going to pass the Senate. Then Obama can bask in the glory of his, quote, bipartisan coup, and put even, yeah, because then he can just say it's bipartisan, yeah, he can just say, oh, well, Lindsey Graham and the GOP and Marco Rubio and John McCain voted for it. See, everybody's interested. Everybody likes it. And see, good old Chucky Schumer. All right, anyway, moving on. And put even more pressure on John Boehner in the House. We all know how strong and principled Boehner is. We are in trouble. Deep, deep trouble. So, yeah, next person says, Americans are struggling to find jobs, and now the president wants to give work permits to millions of illegal aliens. And, of course, they don't even have to show any documentation to go vote in Arizona. It's another good thing, I guess. So, this is how you control, destroy democracy in a certain sense, you know, is to get a lot of people that are just going to vote for whatever things that you want them to get them to vote for. And you don't even have to have proof, so you can do voter fraud on top of that. Well, of course, nobody does that, but, you know, they can't make anything to prevent that from happening, so... But anyway, so that's the immigration stuff going on today. Crazy, yes, I know. So, all right, I'm getting sidetracked. I've been ranting, but I had to wrap that up. Let me get back to the room here. And hello, cowgirl, and sexy cowgirl, and Junior's mama. All right. Sorry, I've been... I'm going to have to look at... look at the comments on my break. I fell behind. But, all right. And no callers. Somebody dropped. If you want to call back, I will get on that. I've been ranting and raving. All right. But anyway, I'm going to take my break here. Take a couple minutes here. I'll be back on the other side. Of course, we've got new information about new NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden and plenty of other stuff, new developments in Syria, and all kinds of other good stuff. So stick around. I'll be back on the other side, get to more of some of this crazy news and more. And that's it.
Thank you for tuning in to Freedom
One. Imagine one of you.
I'm not a lab rat.
I'm not a lab rat.
My family is not a bunch of lab rats.
I am not a lab rat.
Thanks, but no thanks.
80% of the processed food in America has been genetically modified.
That's GMOs. That's GMOs.
You can't even tell what foods contain GMOs at the grocery store.
Because no GMO food labels are required.
That makes us the guinea pigs.
Sounds like an experiment to me.
GMOs are scary.
It's up to you.
You're an adult. You can vote.
I can't vote because I'm a kid.
Vote yes.
Vote yes.
Please vote yes. Count the cookie.
Freedomizer, you have a voice.
How will you vote when initiatives are added to the ballot in your state?
How's it going, Freedomizers? This is Ferdinand. Join me on the No Bull Zone every Monday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We talk about everything from local to national issues, how to be free, and even throw in some health talks. Call in to chat or suggest a topic. That's the No Bull Zone every Monday evening from 8 to 9 p.m. East Coast Time, only on Freedomizer Radio.
Hey there, everyone. This is Chrissy Featherstone, the host of the new show, Real Talk USA, on FreedomizerRadio.com. Join me every Sunday from 1 to 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. This is a seriously but yet funny show. Topics will range from current events to psychological factors in America from the scientific approach, and this will be happening every Sunday. We have musical artists that will also come on, and I love banter from the listeners. The show will also offer and feature listener choice topics every third Sunday. So call in to 347-324-3704 or join us in the chat room at freedomizerradio.com.
Lindsay Williams on Freedomizer Radio.
Proof negative, I love the title that you use on your radio. I've thought about it ever since we talked on off of the air the other day, and I'd say that that's an excellent title for a talk show host.
All right. Well, there's like an echo there. All right, I am back. Blake the eccentric perspective on Freedomizer Radio. And let's see. Corrections here. We got Tessa, who I believe... I used to be an English teacher. I know, I'm always getting grief from Larry over grammatical errors. I think Larry used to be an English teacher as well. So, all right. I don't remember. She's correcting me. I said wrecked havoc. I meant wreak havoc. I'm pronouncing it wrong. Wreak, not wreck. Thank you, Tessa. What else? Junior's Mama, thank you for posting a couple of good articles here. This one summarizes what I was trying to say earlier on that little bit more painfully academic AP article that I read. That was the top headline on Drudge. This Before It's News article by Mort Amsel sums it up much more right to the point here. So the Supreme Court ruled on Monday that states cannot require would-be voters to prove they are U.S. citizens before using a federal registration system designed to make signing up easier. Now, the justices voted 7-2 to throw out Arizona's voter-approved requirement that prospective voters document their U.S. citizenship in order to use a registration form produced under the federal motor voter voter registration law. This is just bizarre. It is clearly unconstitutional, but clearly this means that the Supreme Court has an agenda they are required not to have. This has been clearly politicized and goes hand in hand with Obama's push for amnesty. European countries are beginning to realize that multiculturalism does not work. The U.S. is headed for disaster down every possible avenue of doom. Well, I'm not 100% on this. Maybe I'm going to clarify here. There's some, I mean, it's definitely controversial. I appreciate it. Let's see here. It's unconstitutional, perhaps. I don't like the idea of the feds versus the states here. I don't like the idea of the people that don't have to show proof of who they are in order to vote. It can clearly be taken advantage of, and I think that's the whole point, whether they want to admit it or not. Not that they really care that people don't, but anyway. So European countries are beginning to realize that multiculturalism does not – I'm not really sure if I agree with that. I think that's what makes this country great, is having a nice big melting pot of different cultures and such working together. But anyway, let's see here. But certainly this immigration bill is not going to work. what else do I have up here? Let's see here. Junior's Mama put up the the Glenn Beck discusses the DHS insider. It's about to get ugly. Yeah, I did cover that last week. He finally, Glenn Beck was a giant disappointment, promising some big thing that was going to take down the government, and he's going to announce it on his show in 24 hours, and oh my God, the establishment better get their story straight, and blah, blah. You know, again, Glenn Beck, a giant disappointment, a just total phony. He does put out some good information, but he's always got to debunk stuff, and whatever, 9/11 or Sandy Hook or FEMA camps. The guy is absolutely garbage when it all comes down. When you really think he's going to do something, he lets you down every single time. So the big letdown of Glenn Beck continues. And a lot of much ado about nothing, as usual. Yeah, this is the biggest article of the week on Before It's News. I don't know how many... Let me pull that up. I think I already had it in my stack here, but I do appreciate you sharing that. It has gotten 21,000 views, and it's still going strong. This is from June 14th. Yeah, Glenn Beck, and I like Doug Hagman. It sounded like this really intriguing bombshell story, and it's not the first time that I've covered, like, ooh, Glenn Beck set to make some big announcement, whether it was the Boston bombing. I think it was the last time he was set to do something. There's got to be several examples. Maybe InfoWars should do an article on all the times Glenn Beck has set to make some big announcement and then it all falls apart. Or somebody, I don't know. I don't have the resources to do that, but nor do I really follow this guy that much. But again, the giant disappointment of Glenn Beck. Alrighty, yeah, things are about to get ugly or disappointing. Alright, what else do I have? That's a good Junior's Mama put up another article. I'm going to have to look this one up here. What did you say here? Sorry, my computer would cooperate here. Yeah, I know, it's just that Glenn Beck has been on the list for a long time. FEMA camp bunker, yeah, never went to go look out for himself with the popular mechanics. Yeah, he's, you just can't, at the end of the day, there's just no reason. You can get some good information out of Glenn Beck if you can discern the good from the bad, but... at the end of the day, I wouldn't trust anything that guy said. Yeah, Junior saying he started listening to Alex Jones, is that Glenn was hiding stuff from the FEMA story, and then Alex, Alex actually, is intellectually honest and, finds the FEMA stuff and reports that, and then Glenn Beck does all the, the twists it and, makes a bunch of BS out of nothing. I'd love to debate Glenn Beck on all the issues he supposedly debunked. I can dream. All right, so what else do we got here? I'm trying to get caught up on all the comments and such here. All righty, that's about it. Lots of articles, Junior. I'm gonna try to get into some of these, but Question is it treason if you're not a citizen? That's a good question, Junior. Is it treason if you're not a citizen? I don't know. Probably not. I guess there's got to be, that's an interesting can of worms. All right, so anyway, yeah, I've got more sinkholes. I'll have to look at this other article here, though. But thank you, Junior. Lots of good articles. All right. Anyway, let's get to what else do we have big stories going on in the Drudge Report right now. That would be Vladimir Putin and Obama face off over Syria, and we've got rebels getting Saudi missiles. So, I don't know. Are those the we've had all these missing missiles from Libya. Did they somehow wind up in Saudi Arabia? And is that where they or are these just the Saudis their own missiles? I don't know. Or I guess it doesn't matter. We got some dangerous missiles are in the hands of, dangerous extremist rebels. And that should be concerning for everybody. And, I mean, this is bold, but, I mean, I guess the administration's out of options. So I guess who else do we try to run a war with at this point in time? I guess it seems to be, you know, Iran or Syria, but Iran would be a terrible idea. Who's a legitimate threat out there? I mean, it looks like they're just trying to wag the dog because they've got so many scandals going on. This thing in Syria is such a ridiculous joke, and it's really, I think it's starting to wake up the Democrats. And they're going, wait a second, why are you getting involved in Syria? And the other positive thing I'm seeing about this, whether it's in, this is going past the left-right paradigm, it's also going to other countries. I'm starting to see comments and such. Or even, the mainstream media is starting to call this out. Why are we arming Al-Qaeda? This was a... Really, I mean, when we were getting into Libya last year, it became that controversy of, are we arming Al-Qaeda? Are we funding Al-Qaeda to do some of our dirty work? Aren't they our enemy, but yet they're our friend in certain situations? And it was really difficult to try to explain that to people because it was just so bizarre, so nonsensical. But now with the Syria thing, now it's really kind of out in the open now. Now people are really starting to – it's common knowledge now. In fact, I was even tuning into Bill Maher on that awful show because I've got my little 3 months of Showtime and HBO. And he even said that we're arming Al-Qaeda. This is kind of, hopefully this is backfiring on the establishment. Now, I don't know what they're thinking with this war, what they're going to do, but, I mean, they're getting called out here. Let me just get into the article here. This is out of Reuters. So we've got new evidence emerged of escalating foreign support for the rebels, with a Gulf source telling Reuters that Saudi Arabia had equipped fighters for the first time with shoulder-fired anti-aircraft missiles, their most urgent request. Rebels said Riyadh had also sent them anti-tank missiles. So these are Al-Qaeda sympathizers, complete lunatics that are, even called out by Vladimir Putin. I mean, if Vladimir Putin is saying that these people are, freaky, scary lunatics, then, I think that says something. So, European nations backing the rebels would, quote, pay the price if they joined those sending weapons to Syria, according to al-Assad of Syria. Now, the Saudi weapons deal was disclosed as rebel fighters confront government troops and hundreds of militants from the Iranian-backed Hezbollah militia seeking to retake the northern city of Aleppo, where heavy fighting resumed on Monday. Now, after months of indecision, the Obama administration announced last week that it would arm the rebels because Assad's forces had crossed a, quote, red line by using nerve gas. So that has put Washington on the opposite side of the two-year-old civil war from its Cold War from Moscow, which supplies weapons to Assad. So, and this is just where it gets bizarre. I'm going to move on from this article to get to some of the rest here. I think I'm going to get to the Ron Paul article, in fact, which I pulled up out of InfoWars. Let's dig into this. Let's dig into the reality of the situation here with Syria here. So Ron Paul's got an article that says Obama's Syria policy looks a lot like Bush's Iraq policy. So we've got President Obama announced late last week that the U.S. intelligence community had just determined that the Syrian government had used poison gas on a small scale, killing some 100 people in a civil conflict that has claimed an estimated 100,000 lives. So, I mean, this is the great point that Ron Paul has made. He said it in a little video he did a few days ago as well. You've got over 90, well, I don't even know. Okay, we're pushing 100,000 people that have died over in Syria in this horrible civil war. But, you know, and we didn't care so much about the, you know, the way 99,900 people have died, you know, various different reasons, whether they got their, you know, their heads cut off or whether they were shot or stabbed or, you know, any number of ways that you could kill another human being if you wanted. But supposedly 100 people or so or 150 were killed by some deadly chemical weapons, which isn't verified at all. But we didn't care about the 99,900 people that were, you know, brutally murdered or tortured or what have you, but it's the hundreds or so people that were killed by a deadly nerve gas. And now that's just, that's too far. You've crossed the line. So anyway, I mean, that's just so ridiculous. I mean, I don't even know why I have to, the fact that I'm even covering this stuff. I mean, how dumb is this on its surface? And this is the reason we're going to get involved in another war, perhaps? No, I guess they're going to try to say there's maybe not going to be, you know, troops in the conflict, but they're certainly on the border, and they're going to be involved in a bunch of, you know, war gaming in Jordan. This is just ridiculous. This is just unusual watching, like, the establishment just panic, like they don't know what to do, and they're going to keep using the same playbook of, you know, getting into a war to distract us from the rest of the issues, even though this makes no sense if you're looking at it. And Ron Paul does a great job of pointing that out. Who cares? It's 100 people are somehow greater than 100,000. Even though, again, there's no proof of this chemical weapon stuff. I think it's absolutely insane that the, of course, Assad wouldn't use these chemical weapons against his own people. He knows what that would do as far as the backlash. I'm sure he knows about the Red Alliance. This whole thing is garbage. You know, and I could see if he actually did, if they could really prove that he did launch a rocket and boom, he killed, you know, hundreds of innocent people with this deadly, nasty chemical weapon stuff, and these people died horrible deaths, and you know what? We got to take him out. But do we really want, why are we arming al-Qaeda rebels? And do we want the al-Qaeda rebels to get their hands on all of these weapons? And then once they're basically running to Syria, then what are we expecting? Are we expecting them to just play ball with us on the other side of the planet? People that basically hate us, but now we're going to give them weapons because we hate the other person more? I mean, none of this makes any sense whatsoever. But anyway, let me get into more of this here. So setting aside the question of why, this is Ron Paul's words here, setting aside the question of why 100 killed by gas is somehow more important than the 99,900 killed by other means, the fact is above his explanation is full of holes. The Washington Post reported this week that the decision to overtly arm the Syrian rebels was made, quote, weeks ago. So we even have another contradiction there. So in other words, it was made at a time when the intelligence community did not believe, with high confidence, that the Syrian government had used chemical weapons. Further, this plan to transfer weapons to the Syrian rebels had become policy much earlier than that, as the Washington Post reported that the CIA had expanded over the past year to secret bases in Jordan to prepare for the transfer of weapons to the rebels in Syria. Now, the process was identical to the massive deception campaign that led us into the Iraq War. Remember the famous quote from the leaked Downing Street memo, where representatives of British's Prime Minister Tony Blair's administration discussed Washington's push for war on Iraq? So here the head of the British intelligence was reporting back to his government. Well, he's getting into some of the history here of Bush, and I don't have enough time to get into that. But so now Obama now plans to send even more weapons to the Syrian rebels, even though his administration is aware that the main rebel factions have pledged their loyalty to al-Qaeda. Does anyone else see the irony? Now, after 12 years of the, quote, war on terror and the struggle against al-Qaeda, the U.S. decided to provide weapons to the allies of al-Qaeda. Does anyone really think this is a good idea? Now, the Obama administration promises us that this is to be a very limited operation. Of course it is. Providing small arms only with, yeah, so we'll just have, Saudi Arabia give them all the real weapons, the anti-tank and the anti-aircraft weapons, right? All right, sorry, getting back to the article. We had no plans for a no-fly zone or American boots on the ground. Now, that sounds an awful lot like how Vietnam started. Just a few advisors. So, yeah, this is making me ill, too. I mean, I'm just waiting for them to stage something to make it so we have to get involved. I mean, what are they going to pull next? And, I mean, are they doing this to get away from all the scandals? I don't know. But it does sound like they've been pulling this off for weeks, and they have a weak argument about chemical weapons without any proof, and we're arming al-Qaeda people. I mean, this is the weirdest. You've never seen a war like this ever happen before, where it's just called out going, okay, what is our foreign policy? Who are we arming? How can we be fighting al-Qaeda and other countries, but yet there are ally in Libya and there are ally now against Syria, even though the people that were running the country before were a lot better, but I guess they didn't play ball with some of our corporate interests and our banking interests. I don't know. But anyway, so when these few small arms do not achieve the predetermined U.S. policy of regime change in Syria, what is the administration going to do? Admit failure and pull the troops out? Or will it escalate? History suggests the answer, and now it appears to be repeating itself once again. Last line, the president has opened a can of worms that will destroy his presidency and possibly destroy this country. Another multi-billion dollar war has begun. So strong words from good old Ron Paul. All right, and let's see, it's time for my break here. I've been rambling yet again. I've also got Larry on hold. I'm going to jump to that on the other side. We'll get his take on the issues of the day. And I'll wrap up the rest of the news on the other side. So stick around, Blake the eccentric perspective on Freedomizer Radio.
I am an autonomous government agent here to steal your livelihood.
Does the media want to spread awareness to your...
Hello, everyone. Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now, as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house, and Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants. I just love the taste of it, and this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic, great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com, and check it out and order it, Silver Leaf Tea.
We are Critical Immunity.
with Larry and Renee. Our show will cover current events, national health news, nutrition, emergency preparedness, and organic farming, and various implements and tools to thrive and survive. We hope you tune in and join in our discussion of health, liberty, preparedness, and survival. Join our hosts, Larry and Renee, with guest callers always welcome.
Hey everyone, this is Ron from Ron's Media Matrix on the Freedomizer Radio Network. Be sure to catch my show broadcast here every Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And if you're listening in another part of the world, that's 1800 to 2000 hours Greenwich Mean Time. We're here covering breaking world news, current geopolitical trends, keeping you up to date on the latest science and technology, along with interviewing a wide range of guests versed in a variety of special topics, and that's not all. Freedomizer Radio broadcasts 15 hours a day, 7 days a week, with other talk show hosts that cover a wide variety of topics, including health, current events, emergency preparation, spiritual interests, and much, much more. So be sure to stay tuned and at www.freedomizerradio.com. That's www.freedomizerradio.com. And if you're away from your home computer, you can always listen to us on your cell phone by calling 347-324-3704. 347-324-3704. And thanks for listening.
All right. I am back. Blake the Eccentric, Eccentric Perspective on Freedomizer Radio. So, with some interesting comments here. Sexy Cowgirl. It's a crying shame what this country has come to. Can't even trust our own president anymore. Instead, he has become the enemy, committing treason. And Congress is just as bad. Yeah, I totally agree. Well said. Also got, speaking of that, was Junior putting a lot of Before It's News articles up here. Yeah, Chief Judge of the United States District Court for D.C. gives leave of court to file motions and documents providing undeniable evidence of Obama's use of a stolen security number. Yeah, I don't know. I know I think they had the constitutional sheriffs and peace officers meeting again. I think it was in Missouri, and I think there was some interesting coverage. Latest of Mike Zullo's investigation. I mean, it's amazing that there's just so much secrecy and fraud going on. And you think they would just, after all these years, they'd just be able to just completely debunk all of the, you know, stories about Obama's history. But obviously there is something to that. It's just, it threatens the entire... Our entire establishment, our country. Can you just imagine the magnitude of, you know, if Obama is totally a imposter of sorts? And it's amazing he has gotten here without being vetted, and that the corruption actually got to that level. But there's got to be something to it. I don't even know what else to add. I don't have a lot of time, but. What else can I get to? I know I got Larry on hold here. I'm going to jump to that call here. And before I get to the rest of the Snowden news, we got Benghazi. We got some more Benghazi news, hopefully coming soon. All right, but anyway. All right, let me jump to Larry here. Let's get Larry's take on the hot issues of the day. If I can get my computer to cooperate here. Larry, what's going on, brother?
Hi, Blake. How you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
Oh, if it got any better, I'd go and dance out on the interstate. Dodge all the cars.
Sounds
anyway,
fun.
You have to just really love government and their comedy of horrors, I guess you could say.
Right.
This isn't the first administration. Oh, like you said, Bush did it. Speaking of which, where are all the anti-war protesters that were out against Bush? Where'd they go? And blah, blah is doing way worse than what Bush did.
You're absolutely right.
And what happened to all the oil we were supposed to get out of Iraq? Oh, wait, that's it. We didn't really go for the oil because what we did was shut down Saddam Hussein's flooding the market with oil. That's what that was about. I forgot. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you can't drive down those prices. I mean, that was screwing up the money supply for everybody, and there's artificial scarcity on the oil market. We can't allow that to happen. We need to get rid of him and get people that play ball.
I know, have a scarcity of oil, not a glut. God forbid. That's one reason why they got rid of Gaddafi, too. He was, hey, I'll sell oil, no problem. You want to buy my oil? You give me gold, I give you oil. No American dollars. American dollars suck. They're phony. It's toilet paper. In fact, terrible toilet paper. But anyway.
He was charging his people like 14 cents a gallon. I know. It was
free education, free water, free electric. I know. Very terrible. Everybody, my government love me, but Americans want to kill me. Why do they want to kill me? All I do is refer to one word order. But anyway. And a sexy cowgirl made that comment. It's been that way for 150 years. The government's been corrupted ever since Lincoln. That's how he got away with incorporating Washington, D.C. And I know that seems far-fetched a long time ago, but it does tie in for us, Blake. But back to the present. Wasn't it a month and a half ago or so that the Oblabla administration made the accusation of nerve agents being used, and it turned out, oh, wait, it was Al-Qaeda. Whoops, never mind. Didn't something like that happen back then, too?
Yeah, and I think there was even some hacked emails or something. I'm trying to tie that together, too. Yeah.
Yeah, the truth came out, and all of a sudden you didn't hear any more about it. How about that, folks? And then where are the Saudis getting anti-tank weapons and surface-to-air shoulder-powered missiles? Can we say good old U.S. of A.? Because they don't make their own stuff.
Well, it could be Libya.
All they have is... Libya used to buy their stuff from Russia. Now I imagine they just, buy it from weapons dealers all over the United States. But, and with the CIA running Al-Qaeda, you can't have a war without an enemy. And if you don't have an enemy, you create one. Didn't you know that, Blake? You have to be creative. You understand
right? I hear you, and I'm just wondering, they keep pulling out the same playbook, and I don't know if this one's going to work.
Well,
people are starting to question this one, because,
why wouldn't it? It worked with the war with Spain and the sinking of the Maine. It worked with World War I. It worked with World War II, and people can check the facts and figures, and you'll find out what I'm telling you isn't some tinfoil hat conspiracy theory. Look up Prescott Bush, Ford, Chrysler, and General Motors. They all supported Hitler. Go figure. In fact, we wouldn't bomb certain factories in Germany. Want to know why? They were owned by U.S. corporations. How terrible. But
yeah, they wouldn't blow stuff up in Vietnam either. Same reasoning, I suppose.
Yeah, look who put Mao Zedong in power. Harry Truman. Go figure. Yeah, give him really good weapons. Give Chiang Kai-shek pieces of crap. World War II outdated stuff without the receivers. Could I shoot somebody with them? Kind of doubt it. Then, after he ran to Formosa, now Taiwan, then they gave him the receivers. Kind of late on that, isn't it? That's like throwing water on the fire after the house burnt down. Thank you very little. But anyway, hey, how was your weekend, Blake? I know I'm being kind of facetious and crazy here. Busy?
No,
busy.
It was a busy weekend for me.
Been dealing that
working
awful
man.
Drug. Alcohol?
I guess you could say that.
I'm joking, okay? I mean, I'd be a hypocrite if I really... But, okay, that's good, because I wasn't really being serious about the evilness of it. People being stupid and being alcoholics, well, that's another story. But anyway.
Right, I'm just giving it to tourists on vacation, so it's a little,
Yes.
I don't feel as guilty.
Hey, do you ever sample stuff from microbreweries? You like beer at all?
I don't really drink at home. I'll drink every once in a while. Yeah, if I'm out, I'll have a social beer or two or something like that. But,
A friend of mine's son makes different kinds of beer, right?
Okay.
With and without hops and all this kind of stuff. Man, some pretty good ones. Have you ever tried ginger beer?
Ginger beer isn't beer. It's just, it's like a... it's like just like a ginger ale with an extra bite to it. I use it for certain recipes, you know, but I don't like. What would it be?
I think this one was really ginger beer. I thought.
Oh, it actually had alcohol
flavor,
in it because usually it. Yeah,
yeah,
it doesn't have alcohol
yeah,
in it. A lot of places carry it either.
No, this was real ginger beer.
It makes a Moscow Mule. This is what a ginger
is.
You use ginger beer. Yeah, it's the ingredient. It's just like a vodka, a little bit of lime juice, and some ginger beer. But most bars don't carry ginger beer. But it's you know, used to be popular. You know, like a Barks root beer. It's got a nice bite. It's a good stuff. It's like ginger ale, but it's got a more of a bite to it.
It has a kick to it.
Yeah, but it's no booze in it. Unless
how much of a kick in it? What?
No, it just has
a nice
bite.
It?
You know. No. It's not used in a lot of recipes.
I mean, no, wait a minute. What's wrong with Everclear? Hey, young man.
That's some nasty stuff. I never hear good stories about that. No, it's usually
people
drink it when they were in their early 20s and then they never touch it again.
Yeah, we used it to make jungle juice. It was the party drink. That was before the time of Jägermeister and all that other kind of stuff. We had to be creative and make our own.
Oh,
It's very medicinal. You can put it on a wound or, you know, I mean, it'll sterilize anything it touches. And you can use it for fuel. You can make an alcohol lamp out of it if you wanted to. But anyway, I know we're being silly and digressing away from the news. But, Everclear flammable, dude. It's,
190? I've never actually worked with it or seen it. I believe it's about 190.
Put it in a shot glass and put a match to it.
I don't think every state even sells that stuff. I don't even know if it's legal in all states.
Oh, okay. Well, you can get it here in Texas. I don't know what y'all do there. I would think Nevada would have it.
I would think
but I
don't see it.
In today's page of horrors, we're just talking about the Obama administration and their continuous lies. You know how he promised to be transparent and all that? You know, to be the most transparent administration?
Right.
In a way, he is. And before you disagree, let me finish.
Sure.
He tells lies. His administration lies so terribly that you can see through those lies. So wouldn't that be a type of transparency?
That's a good point, Larry. Yes.
Thank you. Yes.
All right.
See, so he didn't really lie. You just have to think a little different outside the box of what he says.
You have to realize that he is a known liar and that you shouldn't believe anything he says. He has a credibility problem. All right, very good.
Exactly. He always has. Remember, he was a community organizer. And what are those but communists? And what do communists go by? The Communist Manifesto. It's a very interesting read.
Or the Saul Alinsky playbook, yeah.
Well, yeah, but, yeah, he got his stuff from, you know, the communist Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels. Yes, good German man. Yeah, should have hung from
Bill
a tree that he stepped on. Yeah, well, Bill Ayers, yeah, he should have, him and Bernadette Dorn should have gotten a death penalty, but, oh, well, technicality from a stupid judge in California let them off. Wasn't even a technicality, it was bogus, but that's another story, we're digressing. Man, I don't know, tell you, man, we're screwed, dude. We're not going to get these people back. The government is intimidated. Congress isn't going to really stand up and do anything because, you know, if they stand up and say anything too loudly, the vast majority of them are dirty, okay? And the powers that be that want this stupid one-world government, these megalomaniacs, sociopathic psychos, will bring out the dirt on them and ruin their career. And so congressmen will shut up. Either that or they'll be afraid that their dog, their children, and them will die, you know, on mysterious...
I don't know.
You know,
I think they're in their kind of little struggle here at the end here because I don't think they can keep, you know, pushing this stuff. I think people are waking up more. all these more scandals are breaking up. They're looking more desperate. They're losing their credibility so bad that, you know, even Obama's down like 8-9 points. People are, the Syria thing, people are saying, everyone is now saying, see, in Libya, people didn't know what was going on. But now people are going, hey, why are we arming Al-Qaeda? But people didn't say that with Libya because it was kind of like a, we weren't really sure. Like, hey, are we kind of, you know, are we arming Al-Qaeda? And people were like, oh, that's crazy. But now they're like, hey, we did that with Libya, and now we're doing it again? What the hell's going on here?
And then turning around and fighting them in Iraq? Yeah. How can it be that we're fighting these people in Iraq and then we're arming them in Libya and Syria? Hello?
Right.
What's wrong with this picture? You know?
Yeah, they've pushed it too far. Yeah, they can't. And I don't think they can keep continuing this, obviously. I think his immigration bill is dead in the water. I don't know. Obamacare is losing popularity.
His bosses might throw him under the bus and replace him with another puppet, but real powers won't change. Give you a good example in point, the FDA, okay? They're still controlled by the powers that pull the puppet strings, all right? It's been a revolving door for big pharma and big agri and big chemical for decades. Okay, ever since its inception, just about. The guy that started the FDA, he left and said it was the most corrupt thing going, and he warned people that it was going to be terrible. But anyway, you know, USDA, FDA, all of them, you have to look beyond, you know, the cover title and look inside the book, and you'll find that it's pornography at best. But, yeah, they'll just get rid of him because he's inconvenient and put another puppet in, and people will go back to sleep, and they'll carry on with their
I don't know. That's a long way. Come on, Larry. We're already in this 4 years here. I mean, it'd be one thing if Romney would have won, then yes, people would have gone to sleep, and I think that would have been a bad thing. But now that Obama's
Where's protesters at? Where are all the people protesting to protest against Bush?
Well, they just protested a couple weeks ago. Code Pink, yes, that lady called out Obama on, for Guantanamo Bay. That was just a couple weeks ago.
Oh, in Guantanamo? Really? Yeah. Code Pink did? Oh, how about that?
Yeah.
I didn't hear about it, but then again, I really don't watch this.
No, I hear you.
I don't really pay
attention. But, Larry, I would love to hang on and talk to you, but I got to get back because I've only got about 8 minutes left in the show to wrap up the rest of the news of the day, so otherwise I would
problem.
Be happy
hey,
to chat.
Say hi to... That's cool, man. Say hi to Brian for me. And hello, everybody in chat. Hello, Renee.
And, will do.
Critical Immunity, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 10:30 Pacific, 1:30 Eastern, and then times in between, and even 6:30 a.m. in Chelios, England, I say. All right. Take care, man.
All right. Thanks, Larry. Have a good one. All right.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah. All right. And there goes Larry. So, all right, we have about 7.5 minutes or so. We'll do a little news blitz of sorts here. The big story today, or I'd say the big story, like, ooh, one of the other big stories. How about the latest big story out of the Snowden, Edward Snowden, NSA whistleblower here is, of course, there's going to be a lot of things coming out in the next few weeks, I guess, as quickly as Glenn Greenwald can type them up. We've got the GCHQ, which I believe is the England's equivalent of the NSA, was intercepting foreign politicians' communications at G20 summits. So they've exposed that. That's pretty damaging stuff. So they had all these bigwigs at the G20, and they set up fake internet cafes, and they gathered information from all of these people in London and such. We had foreign politicians and officials who took part in two G20 summit meetings in London in 2009, had their computers monitored and their phone calls intercepted on the instructions of their British government hosts, according to documents seen by The Guardian. Now, some delegates were tricked into using internet cafes, which had been set up by British intelligence agencies to read their email traffic. And the revelation comes as Britain prepares to host another summit on Monday for the G8 nations, all of whom attended the 2009 meetings, which were the object of his systematic spying. It is likely to lead to some tension among visiting delegates who will want the prime minister to explain whether they were targets in 2009 and whether the exercise is to be repeated this week. So the timing, again, is awesome because, of course, the last revelation was, about America being, spying on China and everyone. That was when, Obama was having his big meeting with the Chinese president. And that was one of the things that they were set to talk about, was Obama was going to be like, hey, dude, what's going on with you spying on us? And then the revelations came out that the USA is the biggest culprit of all as far as doing overseas spying. And now you've got this another embarrassing revelation about spying on the G20 people. And not that I say that these are good people or anything, but, a bit of a foreign policy embarrassment that you're setting up fake internet cafes so you can spy on people that you're hosting in your country for big meetings. But anyway, what else do we have? U.S. News and World Report says Obama's popularity plunges amid the controversy. And that's privacy and security scandals are plaguing the Obama administration. Even the now I'm not one to I could care less about polls. But yeah, what's a little bit more significant about this is because it's a CNN poll, which are obviously tend to lean more liberal. And the president's approval rating has dropped about 8% just in the last month. So that's interesting. National Journal's got a good article today. Well, I might tweet this out, I think. Do you trust this man? It says, like Bush before him, President Obama faces a credibility crisis. Another article by Ron Fournier. Anyway, let's see here. There is a common element to the so-called Obama scandals, the IRS targeting of conservatives, the fatal attack in Benghazi, and widespread spying on U.S. journalists and ordinary Americans. It is a lack of credibility, and in each case, the Obama administration has helped make controversies worse by changing its stories, distorting facts, and lying. And the abuse of trust may be taking a toll on President Obama's reputation. So, yes, that CNN poll again shows the president's job approval rating at 45%, down 8 points in a month. I can't believe it's already 45%, but that's, of course, CNN voters. But even they're starting to lose people in droves. What else can I get to? Snowden, the truth is coming, and the government can't stop it even by murdering me. And that's a sad thing. This guy is a hero. He had an obligation. He did the right thing, in my opinion, by exposing crimes that are being committed by the government, including, he also goes on to say, Gang of Eight. The lies from the Gang of Eight compelled him to act. They're still trying to figure out if that's true or not. It's got something to do with it, but it's also got something to do with watching James Clapper lie in front of Congress saying that they weren't spying on anybody when they were obviously were. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, Snowden did the right thing. Someone's got to blow the whistle on all of this corruption. And so, whether it's a little embarrassing, damning, we're just going to have to suck it up and deal with the truth here. And what else did I want to mention on that? And according to this, I guess all the stuff is out. So even if they do try to murder this guy, which would be absolutely terrible and really cowardly, I would assume that whoever does anything would be they should be gone after. Anyway, I don't have a lot of time to give a lot of analysis on that with my back up against the wall here. Let's see. We even got the father of Edward Snowden urging his son not to commit treason and to return home. I think it's kind of debatable whether he was committing treason or not. I mean, if the government is lying and engaged in all kinds of corruption, and this goes even farther. I mean, this is only we're even saying this is the tip of the iceberg. He didn't give any like major secrets out to foreign stuff. He wasn't like he was leaking information. He wasn't acting as a mole. I mean, there's a big difference between a mole and a whistleblower. It's not like he's giving, you know, money, or he's not giving secrets to bad people so they can, you know, putting our good people in harm's way or anything like that. What else do we have? Let's see here. In case you missed it, there was a great the Rap News finally made another video. Not that I'm he's got to be not easy to make, so I'm not complaining or anything, but if you guys haven't seen it, I will definitely tweet that out. And please follow me on Twitter, Eccentric99, and we'll get all the news highlights and stuff that I didn't get a chance to cover. Oh, we got White House tweets picture of Obama with a scary gun for Father's Day. It goes into the toy gun rally, and I forgot to mention that, too. Not my idea. I think I was kind of alluding to that. I think I might have got that confused. But there is going to be a toy gun rally at some point. I'd like to get into more information. Perhaps I'll cover it Wednesday or Thursday. I think it's coming up for July, or it's coming up in a few weeks. I think it was started by Austin Peterson. I'm going to tweet that out, I think. I think that'd be a great idea to have a nonviolent. Instead, I think Adam Kokesh is a great guy. I support what he's doing. I wouldn't participate in a armed gun rally, but I would participate in a toy gun rally. I think that would be a great nonviolent way. Maybe we could go and peacefully arrest a few people in Washington. You know, maybe Lindsey Graham, John McCain, John Boehner. Maybe Feinstein, Schumer, Eric Holder, go on. We could add a lot of people to that list. Cheney, Rumsfeld, Obama, Hillary. I don't know. Imagine that. Imagine a million people with toy guns peacefully marching on D.C. and making arrests, peaceful arrests of politicians and pundits. And I'm sorry, I'm going over my break. I do apologize here. I will tweet out stuff that I missed. Eccentric99, please follow. And that's all I've got, I think. So thank you all for listening. I'll be back on Wednesday. Stick around. Liberty Bin coming up on the other end of this break. And have a wonderful day. Thank you.
Blessings. Are the storms of life casting their shadows? Is your heart being overcharged with the deceit and devastation of the coming New World Order? Are all the lies making the truth harder to recognize? Let me invite you to join us where the sun shines on the Sound Doctrine Ministries Sabbath Show and Tuesday Fellowship Programs at noon Pacific Standard Time and 2 p.m. Central Standard Time here on the Freedomizer Radio Network. We'll have guests, our new Christian Common Sense commentaries, our Christian updates, and great gospel music. Call in at 347-324-3704 to speak with our host or to just listen to the show. Or join us in our 24/7 chat room at freedomizerradio.com as we spiritually prepare for the return of our Lord. Blessings and peace to your home.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life. Shade, the motion picture. A view into the globalist domain. Annabella's and Burma's film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
We are going to let them know the new world government has been identified, and they thought they had cornered the world economy to bring in a worldwide police state, but instead, it's going to bring them down.
You have to stand up. Speak up. Speak out.
See the motion picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at SheTheMotionPicture.com.
We are so pleased to announce ESP Botanicals is now sponsoring Freedomizer Radio. They have a bath and body line of products made for keeping your skin beautiful and healthy, but it's also for psoriasis, eczema, rosacea, and dermatitis treatment. They are meticulously prepared skincare products made from the best botanicals available. Committed to buying only from the growers when they can and using the highest quality cold-pressed oils, botanical organic additives, the best steam-expressed essential oils, and the least processed carrier oils that are available in today's marketplace. Pamper yourself or someone special in your life. Give the gift of beautiful, glowing skin. ESPBotanicals.com. Thank you so much for supporting us at Freedomizer Radio.
Hello everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house, and Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants. I just love the taste of it, and this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic. Great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com. And check it out and order it. Silver Leaf Tea.
Does the media ever deceive the public?
A white plane, a very big jet, was flying an unusual pattern near the White House over Lafayette Park. Very slowly, it made one circle and then...
Are the media and their sources trustworthy?
New York State and New Jersey will get their first doses of the swine flu vaccine.
The H1N1 virus has made thousands of people across the country sick. Many have died. And some worrying that it could grow into a full-blown pandemic.
Where does our mainstream media get their news?
All this enjoyment is brought to you by all the things sweetened with NutraSweet.
There's a reason why we want to own these guns.
We're going to have to come together and take meaningful action to prevent more tragedies like this.
That was President Obama Friday suggesting it is now time to reopen the national debate on gun control.
The media tends to march in lockstep with the government.
Who is responsible when the media fabricates the news?
When the public is constantly fed messages that are potentially leading us into a war that may not be necessary, it's not fair to the American people, and it's not fair to journalism, because the truth isn't being told here. We found out that CNN International is actually making money from the Bahrain regime. They are a customer of Bahrain. Bahrain is paying CNN International to create content that shows Bahrain in a favorable light, to then air that content on CNN International.
Join us online at williamlewisfilms.com. That's williamlewisfilms.com.
Good
Greetings, this is Blake the Eccentric, and I want to invite you to check out my new show on Freedomizer Radio, The Eccentric Perspective. It's sort of a red pill, blue pill, going down the rabbit hole kind of show, featuring outside-the-box politics, philosophy, and gonzo journalism. But be warned, with knowledge comes responsibility, and you might not see the world the same way again. As I will attempt to open your mind, speak to your common sense, and challenge your critical thinking skills. So please join me Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday from noon to 1:30 Pacific time. Once again, that's Eccentric Perspective, only on Freedomizer Radio.
Sunshine in the ghetto. Good afternoon, Freedomizer listeners. We are live, and I would like to thank you for joining us today. I'm Jacob Alexander, and I will be your host on the Liberty Bend Show. You can join us every Monday and Tuesday, 1:30 p.m. Pacific Time, 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tomorrow we will have Skylar Hamilton here on with us. He is making a bid for the Orem City Council, and he will also be joining us on Tuesdays on the Freedomizer Liberty Bend Show. Well, the battle sure is upon us. The biggest problem with unlimited wiretaps and unlimited spying capabilities is not that they know about your affair or your weird fetish. It's that they can blackmail you with that information, whether you are a senator, a general, a CEO, a news anchor. You go with the official story, or you be brought down. That is exactly what they use it for. Not everyone is for sale, but any person will protect themselves and their family if someone threatened to reveal their love for weird porn or love for little boys or whatever. Barack Obama loves to spy on all our electronic data and take down any whistleblower that rats him out. This is what the IRS scandal was all about. It's not about finding out everyone's secret. It's about political power, using those secrets against everyone. That's what the IRS scandal was all about, targeting political opponents. In an administration shrouded with secrecy, they are struggling to keep heroes like Manning and Snowden silent. The mounting backlash against the corrupt Obama administration and their surveillance operations, and probably the largest national security leak in U.S. history. The National Security Agency has secretly been gathering personal data on Americans since 2007, including their internet and cell phone use, their cell phone service. The NSA, meanwhile, has asked the Justice Department to open up an investigation against Snowden, and it has said that it was assessing the damage caused by Snowden's disclosures. And, of course, Snowden is the source for that series of documents released through The Guardian, which included disclosures of a wide-ranging secret court order that demanded Verizon to pass to the NSA the details of phone calls related to millions of customers, and a huge NSA intelligence system called PRISM, which collects data on intelligence targets from the systems of some of the biggest tech companies. Snowden, in the meantime, is currently believed to be in Hong Kong. The first document Snowden revealed was these top secret court orders issued by the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court that granted a 3-month renewal for a massive collection of American phone records. That order was signed last April 25th, and so the Guardian's first story on the court order was published almost 2 weeks ago on June 5th. However, Edward Snowden has told the Guardian today that he believes the U.S. federal government wants to either jail or murder him. Well, obviously, because you can't release the secrets of the most powerful men in the world without expecting a consequence, but Snowden is a true hero who has given up his entire life to release this information and is now in secret, seeking asylum, it looks like, in Hong Kong. Russia, Vladimir Putin, has also offered asylum if he wants it. In the chat that Edward Snowden had with The Guardian today, it was a live chat, Snowden said that he fled to Hong Kong over, say, Iceland, because of his preferred destination for asylum, as his preferred destination for asylum, because of travel restrictions from for the NSA employees. He said that he would have probably been possibly stopped en route. I quote Snowden: "Leaving the U.S. was an incredible risk, as NSA employees must declare their foreign travel 30 days in advance and are monitored. There is a distinct possibility I would be interdicted en route, so I had to travel with no advance booking to a country with the cultural and legal framework to allow me to work without being immediately detained. Hong Kong provided that. Iceland could be pushed harder, quicker, before the public could have a chance to make their feelings known, and I would not put that past the current U.S. administration." End quote. That's Snowden's reasoning for going to Hong Kong. Greenwald, the journalist for The Guardian, who Snowden turned to blow the whistle, was asked how many sets of the document he disclosed and whether he how many sets of the documents did he make that was disclosed to him by Snowden, and how many different people at this time had them, just in case, well, if something happened to Greenwald. And Greenwald replied, "All I can say right now is the U.S. government is not going to be able to cover this up by jailing or murdering me. Truth is coming, and it cannot be stopped. Many more documents are set to be released." Whereas many members of Congress have just suggested that Snowden is a traitor and has committed an act of treason. Even House Speaker John Boehner called NSA leaker a traitor who put Americans at risk by releasing classified information to the media. He says, quote, "The disclosure of this information puts Americans at risk. It shows that our adversaries what our capabilities are, and it's a giant violation of the law," end quote. This is John Boehner, head of the Republican Party, calling a hero a traitor. If he has his way, if Obama has his way, if all of our leaders have their way, they will arrest all the whistleblowers like they have with Bradley Manning and make sure any government employee is terrified before they release any secrets of the government's wrongdoings. Boehner endorses and supports President Obama's two programs, which allows the NSA to gather information about phone calls made in the U.S., as well as information on foreign suspects collected from major internet companies, as critical to the government's ability to fight terrorism. He said that there are clear safeguards built into the programs to protect Americans. "I'm not feeling too safe." Today, Edward Snowden also explained via live chat with The Guardian that he believed Facebook and Google were misleading their users about the amount of personal data that they are allowed the federal government to access. Snowden said, quote, their denials went through several revisions as it became more and more clear they were misleading and included identical specific language across companies. Snowden revealed to The Guardian earlier this month that the two companies were allowing the NSA to have back-end access to their data servers. Representatives from both Google and this is no surprise to anyone. I mean, it shouldn't be anyways. I just assume at this point anything I transfer digitally across the internet is permanently stored forever. And not just the internet, cell services, any kind of digital communication being transferred is being stored digitally. That would almost be a common sense assumption. However, representatives from both Google and Facebook have issued strong denials of the Guardian's report, saying Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg insisted, quote, Facebook is not and has never been part of any program to give the U.S. or any other government direct access to our servers. We have never received a blanket request or court order from any government agency asking for information or media metadata in bulk, like the one Verizon reportedly received. And if we did, we would fight it aggressively. We hadn't even heard of Prism before yesterday. Google's response was very similar. Quote, first, we have not joined any program that would give the U.S. government or any other government direct access to our servers. Indeed, the U.S. government does not have direct access or backdoor to the information stored in our data centers. We had not heard of a program called Prism until yesterday. Both of their responses are almost identical. Notice the identical wording from all the various company press releases. They always say, quote, any program that would give the U.S. government direct access to our servers. That was probably very deliberately worded and is probably verbiage directly from the White House. Direct access can mean any number of things is deliberately left undefined. One could say direct access means a desk in Facebook's server room with a network jack going right into the server's racks that Mr. NSA could sit at. And since such a desk may not exist, they can therefore say, nope, no direct access here. Does the government have instead remote access? Oh, I bet you they do. Look at it this way. I'm at work right now. I have a few computers at home. Can I easily access them from work? As in, can I physically put my fingers on the keyboard at home from my work? Of course I can. But I can remotely access those computers quite easily. I can view the screens, control the computers, and interact with them entirely as if I was sitting in my basement. But I could tell everyone I don't have direct access to my computer at home. And that would be technically correct. But the remote access I do have gives me everything I need. The NSA doesn't even need to access the servers, though. Like they couldn't get in instantly if they wanted to. They're wired directly into the grid at telecom company central offices. Go look up the Hefting vs. AT&T Supreme Court case. AT&T was sued for privacy breaches by allowing co-location of NSA NARA fiber optic snoopers. The 2009 FISA law retroactively granted immunity to telecoms and forced the case to be thrown out. PRISM is just a rounding error for the stuff that is missed when the NSA pulls data directly out of the grid. Some of the broad data collection by the NSA revealed in various reports over the past few weeks was authorized under a part of the U.S. Patriot Act, known as Section 215. The Patriot Act and Section 215 authorizes the government to order businesses to turn over the production of any tangible things, including books, records, papers, documents, and any other item, provided a court approves and deems the data relevant to a national security investigation. Last year, the Congressional Research Service summed 215 up quite well, stating that, quote, it both enlarged the scope of materials that may be sought and lowered the standard for a court to issue an order compelling their production. I want to thank you guys for joining us today on this beautiful Monday afternoon. We're going to take a quick break here and hear from a few words from our sponsors who support us in being here and allow us to get on the air and share truth and join in the fight for liberty against the New World Order. I want to thank all of our great listeners out there, Freedomizer listeners, for you guys' support and for continuing to help us spread the word about what is going on out there. Hey, stay tuned. We'll be right back after these few messages.
Hey, it's Red from the Red Pill Show. Are you trying to wake up? Are you trying to wake some of your family members and friends up? Are you hearing,
I don't want to talk about it. I got my own problems.
Or, oh, hey, man, dude, I don't want to hear that. I got a job and I got to feed my family. Well, tune in on Sunday nights from 8 p.m. till 9:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, and we'll try to wake them up. Remember, it's everything and anything against the New World Order here on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Oh, you want to heal the world? Oh, you can't do that. You know, you got to elect the right people. No, change your thinking. Change the way you feel. Change the way you do things. Do everything for peace. Like John Lennon said, walk for peace. You take a shower for peace. Do whatever you do for peace. Every time you do that, you set a ripple effect out. Because we live in a vibrational world, and your brain is the instrument. To learn how to direct and control your mind, you guys are superheroes. You know, they don't want you to know that, but you are. You guys are the most powerful people in the world.
We see the power in you to change your thinking. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, only on Freedomizer Radio.
We are so pleased to announce ESP Botanicals is now sponsoring Freedomizer Radio. They have a bath and body line of products made for keeping your skin beautiful and healthy, but it's also for psoriasis, eczema, rosacea, and dermatitis treatment. They are meticulously prepared skincare products made from the best botanicals available. committed to buying only from the growers when they can and using the highest quality cold-pressed oils, botanical organic additives, the best steam-expressed essential oils, and the least processed carrier oils that are available in today's marketplace. Pamper yourself or someone special in your life. Give the gift of beautiful, glowing skin. ESPBotanicals.com. Thank you so much for supporting us at Freedomizer Radio.
Hello everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house, and Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants, I just love the taste of it, and this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic. Great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com. And check it out and order it. Silver Leaf Tea. Hello again, Freedomist. Proof is here, and I want to talk to you about a brand new soda maker called SodaStream. Now, the Proof House has had SodaStream for about a year, and we love the thing. We use it quite often. With SodaStream, you can have fresh-made soda in seconds. One of the big things we like about it is that there's no high-fructose corn syrup and no aspartame. There's over 60 flavors, or you can create your own. Not just sodas, they also have iced teas and energy drinks. Here at the Proof House, we make egg cream sodas all the time. Some other facts to consider here, there's no electricity, no more wasted bottles and cans, and the most important thing is that it tastes great. Keep in mind, too, this is a perfect family present for Christmas, or, hey, just surprise the family with something great. Also, for a limited time, there's free shipping, so go to freedomizerradio.com and look for the SodaStream link, and I hope you check out the product. That's SodaStream right on freedomizerradio.com. Hey, guys, Proof here. Guess what? I just got a cell phone. Hey, for everyone that knows me, I'm not a fan of cell phones, but I just signed up with a company called SolarBay. And SolarBay is offering a plan right now with unlimited phone, text, and web for only $49 a month. Plus, if you refer a friend or two, you get a discounted rate for everyone you refer for as long as they have SolarBay, not just for the first month, but for the whole time that person has SolarBay. You sign up enough people, and SolarBay pays you every month. What other cell phone company is going to pay you for service? Anyway, go to solavei.com/freedomizer. That's solavei, solavei.com/freedomizer. Learn all about it. Plus, and another kicker, if you sign up three people under you, you'll get another month for free as well. Plus, they're going to pay you cash. Anyway, solavei.com/freedomizer.
Roar! Welcome to Crazy Dragon's Den with your hostess Tammy, the Crazy Canadian, here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Join me in the den Mondays and Wednesdays, 11 to 12 Pacific Standard Time, 2 to 3 Eastern Standard Time. Mondays are a double whammy from your Crazy Canadian Tammy, because from 3 to 5 Pacific Standard Time, 6 to 8 Eastern Standard Time, my sidekick David makes his appearance, and we discuss a little of this and a little of that. We'll question things that make you go, and maybe find some answers. So join me Mondays and Wednesdays at freedomizerradio.com. To listen to my show live, you can call in to vent your roar or join our chat room to drop a comment or question. So join me, Tammy, the Crazy Canadian, on Crazy Dragon's Den here on freedomizerradio.com.
Couple of weeks now when the Supreme Court ruled that taking a DNA sample by police is lawful upon any kind of stop. Well, there's an Athens man that spends 10 hours a day in a cell for refusing to give DNA. Every day over the past month, at the Clark County Jail, this is in Athens, Georgia, at the Clark County Jail, awaiting trial on criminal charges, has been taken to the courthouse in downtown Athens and locked up for 10 hours in a basement holding cell. And this is because, in addition to drug trafficking charges, the 32-year-old inmate has refused to comply with a judge's order to provide a DNA sample in a child support case. The court orders Campbell to be brought to the courthouse and held available to give DNA swabs each day from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. until he agrees to provide the swabs or until further order of the court. And that's according to the Western Judicial Circuit Chief Judge David Sweat, who wrote the May 17th order. So every day since May 17th, he has been going back and forth, 30 days now, till he's willing to comply and give over his DNA. So Campbell has been shuttled back and forth between the court, between the jail and the courthouse every day since. Campbell's attorney on Wednesday wrote a letter to the judge complaining of unconstitutional, cruel, and unusual punishment of his client. He is being held every day in a cell approximately 12 by 16 feet, which is crowded with anywhere from 5 to 20 prisoners at a time. I can't imagine, he says, no more serious and cruel punishment than keeping a person shackled 10 hours a day, every day, in a crowded cell, in a dimly lit holding cell, in a courthouse, and there is no legal reason for doing so, the attorney said. I write this letter hoping you will see the attack on humanity of such treatment. I applaud that attorney. The attorney Smith, according to his client has suffered sores and cuts from being shackled for such long periods of time. Further, the attorney states in his letter he's unable to have private discussions with Campbell while surrounded by other prisoners, nor can his client make telephone calls. Despite Smith's claim that Sweat's order was illegal, other attorneys said that judges have the authority to hold people in contempt and lock them up when they refuse to comply with orders in civil matters. And according to some attorneys, Georgia law, judges are authorized to require DNA samples in child support cases. We've been discussing today Edward Snowden, who is of immense importance, and we cannot forget what he's doing right now. So much news is constantly coming out because of our lunatic of a president who seems to never let a people breathe without worrying their rights are going to be snatched from under them in the middle of the night. But Edward Snowden is a hero. He is actively defending our First Amendments and our Fourth Amendments. And he is being attacked for both. He's being called a traitor, accused of treason. Edward Snowden, with the help of The Guardian, has also released evidence that is contained in documents classified as top secret. And they reveal that during the G20 meetings in April and September of 2009, that GCHQ used what one document calls, quote, groundbreaking intelligence capabilities to intercept the communications of visiting delegations from other countries that showed that foreign politicians and officials who took part in those two G20 summits meetings in London, they are not even safe from the watching eyes of the NSA. Because they had their computers monitored and their phone calls intercepted on the instructions of the British government hosts, some delegates were tricked into using internet cafes, which had been set up by the British intelligence agencies to read their email traffic. And this news comes as Britain starts to host yet another summit starting today, I believe, for the GA nations. Dr. the British got the help of National Security Agency, whose spying capabilities seem to be unmatched. The G20 spying appears to have been organized mainly for more mundane purposes of securing an advantage in meetings. These documents named targets include long-standing allies such as South Africa and Turkey. Some of the things these documents outlined as some of the things they did and outlined this operation, according to these documents, is they set up internet cafes where they used an email interception program and key logging software to spy on delegates who with use of computers. Penetrated the security on delegates' BlackBerries to monitor their email messages and phone calls. Supplied 45 analyses with a live round-the-clock summary of who was phoning who at the summit. Targeted the Turkish finance minister and possibly 15 others in his party. Received reports from the NSA attempt to eavesdrop on the Russian leader, Dmitry Medvedev, as his phone calls passed through satellite links to Moscow. This operation was orchestrated at a senior level of the government, and then the Prime Minister at the time, Gordon Brown, and the intelligence included briefings was passed to other British ministers. So this was a high up level operation spying on the G20 delegates going to the G20 summit, getting the help of the NSA to spy and tap their phones or emails, etc. Key log their computers. Basically, any key that's pushed on the computer, it becomes recorded. One of the documents refers to a tactic which was used a lot in recent UK conference. The tactic, which is identified by an internal code word, which the Guardian is not revealing for whatever reason, is defined in an internal glossary as active collection against an email account that acquires mail messages without removing them from a remote server. More or less, that means they're reading people's emails before they do. They're intercepting the email. The same document also refers to these intelligence agencies setting up, like the MI6 and the GCHQ, setting up internet cafes, which were able to extract key logging info, providing credits for delegates, meaning another document summarizes a sustained campaign to penetrate South African computers, recording that they gained access to the network of their foreign ministry. Investigated phone lines used by High Commission in London and retrieved documents including briefings for South African delegates to G20 and G8 meetings. And South Africa, they're a member of the G20 group and has observer status at G8 meetings. There is also a detailed report that records the doings of the NSA while they intercept specialists that met with Hill in North Yorkshire to target and decode encrypted phone calls from London to Moscow. which were made by the Russian president Medvedev. And so this document also says how they've apparently successfully penetrated the security of BlackBerry smartphones. Quote, new converged events capabilities against BlackBerry provided advanced copies of G20 briefings to ministers. Another document here records that when G20 finance ministers met in London in September, the GCHQ again took advantage of the occasion to spy on delegates. They're just spying on everyone, everywhere. It doesn't matter who you are. They are watching you, and it is being recorded, especially if you're a political interest. You would think our politicians would want to set up laws to stop this because they are going to be the primary targets. We are rapidly going into 1984. And this is why Amazon a few weeks ago reported record sales of the copy of 1984. Another document records when the G20 finance minister met in London in September. They targeted the Turkish finance minister, Mehmet Simsek, as a target, enlisting 15 other junior ministers and officials in his delegation as possible targets. As with the other G20 spying, there is no suggestion that Simsek and his party were involved in any kind of criminal offense. The document explicitly records a political objective, and that is, quote, to establish Turkey's position on agreements from the April London summit and their willingness to cooperate with the rest of the G20 nations. Well, if you want someone's cooperation, you shouldn't get caught spying on them. The September meeting of finance ministers was also the subject of a new technique provided a live report on any telephone call made by delegates and display all of the activity on graphic, which was projected onto the 15-square-meter video call of GCHQ's operations center, as well as onto the screens of 45 special analysts who are monitoring the delegates. They basically set up this headquarters, put 45 guys in here to monitor all the delegates, video screens recording everything and displaying what's going on. For the first time, analysts have had a live picture of who was talking to who that updated constantly and automatically. There's another review here that implies that analysts' findings were being relayed rapidly to British representatives in the G20 meeting, a negotiating advantage of which their allies and opposite numbers may not have been aware. So they're basically, you go to these G20 meetings, they're doing all sorts of negotiation, often trading military support for political support. And the British and the NSA, so the U.S. and the British, are basically spying on all these political leaders real time. So they have the advantage in their negotiations. So the call records actively pilot was very successful, and this is what it comes down to. the government doesn't need to know what everyone is up to in order to keep us safe. It's not even the government's job to keep everyone safe. It's the government's job to keep people's rights and liberties secure. We don't need the government to watch everything we're doing. We need to be watching what the government is doing because they think they have the right to act in secrecy and no one else can. They think all the secrecy belongs to them. We should be thankful for writers like Glenn Greenwald, who broke the story for Edward Snowden, the heroic whistleblower, for taking risks to let us know what the government is doing. And when we have politicians out there that call for the persecution of honest journalists and heroic whistleblowers, we need to oust them out of office because they are the ones shrouding in the secrecy of government and upholding it. And gathering up such broad swaths of data, the Obama administration appears to have made a bold argument on that it's necessary to protect us all from terrorists to spy on all of us. The power that he's asserting he has comes from Section 215 in the Patriot Act. It was specifically created to target terrorists abroad, not to target American citizens here in our homeland. Section 215 is among the sections of the Patriot Act that have periodically come up for renewal. And undoubtedly, Section 215 violates the Fourth Amendment's protections by allowing the government to conduct searches without warrants or probable cause. The NSA scandal represents a complete disregard for Bill of Rights. But the NSA has multiple and redundant methods of spying. They don't need these giant tech companies to hand over their information. And that's why I've never been too worried about ditching my Gmail account or ditching my Facebook. I've just become aware there's no secrets, so don't try to have one online. And the reason I say the NSA doesn't need them to hand over the information is because they can directly access the servers of these giant tech firms. They can do it let's say they're cut off from directly accessing the servers, which I'm sure they can. They can still go on without losing a step. After all, NSA cuts directly into the fiber optic cables and splits the data into two copies, one of which it keeps for itself. They can access Google and Facebook and Yahoo in other ways. But it sure makes things easy when they have these willing tech partners that will just hand over all the data. Firms like Facebook and Google, we all knew, have already been spying on their customers, putting together extensive profiles to craft better targeted ads. Google knows spying. They knew it very well, doing it for commercial purposes. And now we know for national security purposes or for even better yet, political targeting purposes. The NSA has built an infrastructure that allows it to intercept almost everything. With this capability, the vast majority of human communications are automatically ingested without even if you're not doing anything wrong, you're being watched and recorded. The storage capability of these systems increase every year consistently by orders of magnitude. To where it's getting to the point where you don't have to have done anything wrong. You simply have to eventually fall under suspicion from somebody, even by a wrong call, and they can use the system to go back in time and scrutinize every decision you've ever made, every friend you've ever discussed something with a little bit of privacy, and attack you on that basis. Sort of derive suspicion from an innocent life and paint anyone in the context of a wrongdoer. President Obama defends NSA spying, saying, quote, it's transparent. That's what he tells Charlie Rose in an interview. If Obama said the sun rises from the north and sets in the east, his supporters will strain with all their heart to defend him. Bottom line, when the left mentioned the Patriot Act described all of this, when they used the Patriot Act to defend what Obama is doing, they are muddying the waters and confusing the matter. What Obama is doing goes way beyond the Patriot Act. What the NSA is doing goes way beyond the Patriot Act. But it's really getting to the point, it doesn't matter what the Patriot Act says. It doesn't matter what piece of federal legislation they come up with. The federal government has made themselves illegitimate and should become solvent. The only thing that is transparent is the veil of protection from unreasonable searches we all thought was guaranteed by the Fourth Amendment of the Bill of Rights. I want to thank you guys for joining us today here on the Liberty Bin Show. It's been good to sit here and discuss with you the doings of our ever-watchful big brother. And I want to thank you guys for joining Freedomizer to spread truth and to get the word out that it's time for things to change. And then when I say change, I don't mean the color of our president. I mean the principles and values which we use to govern ourselves. As human beings, we deserve to be free. We have natural human rights that are guaranteed to us by life itself. Men are allowed to govern themselves. It was never meant to get to this point in this country. Our founding fathers tried to set up something beautiful. And when I say founding fathers, I don't mean all the men that participated in the founding of this nation. I mean a specific few who really loved liberty. And the reason they loved liberty is because they knew it was the higher law. It was the natural law. It was never intended to have this huge federal government that gets involved in between every single transaction, monetary transaction. No, we can't even trade with each other to improve our own lives without the government taking a claim. Now we can't even share information with each other without the government claiming they have the right to listen. How far are we going to go? At which point are you going to realize you're a slave? At which point are we all going to realize that it's time we kick the plantation owners out of the plantation? I'm tired of getting whipped. I don't want to take any more whippings. How big of a prison system do we have to build? We have a larger prison population than Stalin's gulags. And nobody cares. We'll sit down in front of the TV and turn on Cops and watch them all go to jail. They're just a bunch of goddamn drug users. They all deserve to be jailed, don't they? At which point do we all come together and realize that we need to just leave people alone, let them make their own mistakes and be accountable on their own? That if someone's in need, our neighbors, our families, and our charities take care of them and help them, and not some centralized government that's taken on the authority to steal from everyone to help everyone. When are we going to return to freedom? Will it happen in our life? When are we going to be able to walk outside and breathe air that's not poisoned? When are we going to be able to go to the grocery store and know that the food that we're buying isn't poisoned? When are we going to be able to collect the rain that falls from the ground without your local government coming and accusing you of theft? When are we going to be able to get in a car and drive around without having to pay out heavy fines to the government? When are we going to be able to travel without showing our papers? When are we going to be able to raise our sons and daughters up knowing that they won't have to be sent off to go to war to fight for some man's oil? When will our military no longer be used as pawns for the riches increase? When will we stop expecting government to honestly run our schools? I don't want government teaching my children. I already know for a fact everything they teach is greatly manipulated. I hope soon liberty will return and I don't know if we ever really truly had it, though. It's always just been this distance-off dream. Even at the beginning, there wasn't real liberty here. There's liberty for some, unless you're Black, Native American, or a woman. I want to thank you guys for all joining us here, though, on the Liberty Bin Show and continuing this fight for freedom and truth and liberty. You can join us here every Monday and Tuesday at 1:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tomorrow, we are going to be here joined with Skylar Hamilton, who will join us often on Tuesdays. You can check out more of Skylar Hamilton's work at freedomorbust.com. Also, you probably heard some good music today that was brought to us by Jacob Augustine, a great libertarian musician. You can check out more of his music at jacobaugustine.bandcamp.com. And then other than that, I guess we will be seeing you tomorrow. We are going to take a break here because we missed one of our breaks. So we're going to take a break here, and I will rejoin with you guys tomorrow afternoon at 1:30. Thanks a lot, guys, and I appreciate it. Take care.
We are Critical Immunity with Larry and Renee. Our show will cover current events, national health news, nutrition, emergency preparedness, and organic farming, and various implements and tools to thrive and survive. We hope you tune in and join in our discussion of health, liberty, preparedness, and survival. Join our hosts, Larry and Renee, with guest callers always welcome.
I'm high as an airplane, black as a highway, broke as a Sunday shame. I'm bright like the sun, I'm hot like a gun, just after the firing range. The beach wears black and red. The beach.
government guns. He who is lodged in school goes kaboom. Sit back to the sounds of a united doom. Suicide bombs, terrified mama, suicide bombs, patriot. Watch them bury young Johnny dead. He grew up on Blaine Street, 5 blocks from the cross. His daddy was a drunk and his mama was lost. She didn't want to be found, so he signed up to kill. Shadows, but his head is on the hill. Suicide bombs, terrified mama, suicide bombs. Watch them bury